Blog Talk Radio.
November 20th. It is Thanksgiving Eve. I am joined, as always, well, most of the time when he's not hunkered down after a hurricane. Eddie, good evening. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. It's Mai Tais for everybody in the chat room today.
Yes, both of you.
We're trying to beef up the chat room participation, so we're giving away free drinks. Although the numbers on this show, Jim, have been through the roof.
Of course.
I consider this like, you know, you certainly are versed in the Giants like none other. I'm a Jets guy, you know. I've definitely gotten more into the Jets and football this year and years past than there was no hockey there. But I'm a little surprised, but I'm starting to realize that it's really not what we're talking about. It's basically both of us. People just love us.
Yes.
You can talk about Knuckle.
My mother, God rest her soul, was she loved playing Pinochle and tried to teach me many times, and I couldn't get it.
Is it some kind of card game?
Yeah. It's played with a special deck. If I remember correctly, there are, I think, two sets of... And it's only face cards and tens, if I'm not mistaken. And there's two sets of them in a Pinochle deck. And there's bidding and passing, and you play trump cards. And my mother, like, God bless her, she tried so many times to teach me how to play because she used to play with her grandparents. And then when they died, there was nobody to play Pinochle with, and it was a whole thing.
Yeah, well, that families used to just play card games. I mean, that was an interaction thing. You didn't need seen it Harry Potter or seen it, you know, Golden 80s or whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, you didn't have to get a Wii controller to play with your kids. They used to play card games.
Yeah, absolutely. And
just play cards. I hated it. Oh, did I hate it. I have an aversion to cards.
Do you?
My wife's family, they played a lot of cards. I think you're from a tight-knit family. I think. Yeah. Before everybody starts not talking to each other when something goes down.
Well, yeah, I was never a big gin rummy player.
I didn't have the time. I was too busy playing rod hockey. Plus, they would eat it. I know this has nothing to do with bird ground, but I have like the worst. First of all, I wasn't a coffee drinker at 11.
Right.
I drink coffee all night.
Yep.
From one of those giant pots, you know, those giant, I don't even know what they call them.
Put the coffee on the burl. Yeah, and the percolator on the burl.
And with Stella Doro, those things that were tasteless, those breadsticks and that other thing, whatever it was.
What about the fudge cookies, the ones with
it didn't even have any kind of sweetness in it.
They had those big S cookies.
I hated those too. That was up on the list. The nightmare. Thank God for my cousin. All they have is Shasta.
Shasta.
Give me some real soda, Shasta.
Shasta, Fresca, and Tab.
Tab, that stuff is disgusting. I think it was proven that if you had four cans of Tab, you got cancer.
Now, since we're on the subject of food, you know, this is for guys like Eddie and me and Costa and James. We like to eat. I don't know. This may come as a surprise to the millions listening around the world, but we do like our food. And we like our snacks. We like our cakes. We like our sweet things. And well, this week we bid goodbye to some old friends, perhaps. Ding-dongs, and Twinkies, although the rumor is they're going to be bought in the asset sale. But Hostess has, at least for the time being, gone out of business. Apple pies, pudding pies, chocodiles, gone. All gone. I went to Walmart the other night, the day they announced they were going out of business, and the shelves, the Twinkie shelves, the Hostess, was empty. There was nothing left but donuts and sweet buns.
Yeah, but I heard, now, see, it's funny how everybody thought of the treats first, but Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread, too?
Yeah, they're made by Hostess. I like Wonder
Bread. Yeah, Wonder Bread's been around probably at least 100 years, I'd be willing to bet. Yep.
So Wonder Bread. They keep it around, yeah. That's some idiot on eBay, I think. I saw on one of the shows. He's got like a box of Twinkies. Like, on, you know, you can bid like $1 million to get it. What the hell is that?
Somebody will buy the recipe and the name, and Twinkies will be back. But,
well,
but
my sources said that Bimbo, or Bimbo, which is spelled B-I-M-B-O.
Right.
They might be buying.
Really?
They had made an offer 2 years ago, and Hostess looked at it, but they certainly have the facilities. But I hope they save some of the. Remember those things, the big wheel, the Hostess big wheel?
Well, yeah, but they see what I came. What I found out was certain areas of the country they were called the big wheels were called different things, and I guess they were. I mean. In the Northeast, they were big wheels, but in other places, they were called ding-dongs because Drake's in the Northeast had ring-dings. So they prevented Hostess from using, at least this is the story I read. How true this is, I don't know. But apparently, it could be. But apparently, they prevented Hostess from using the name ding-dongs in the Northeast because of ring-dings. So they had to come up with Big Wheel, which was completely politically incorrect. I mean, you sit yourself down to a Big Wheel and some Raging Engine funny face juice mix, and it's the most politically incorrect snack of all time.
Yeah, because the Big Wheel had an Indian headdress on.
Right. Chief.
And
Chief,
how do you
Big
make
Wheel?
That?
Chief Big Wheel.
Yeah. And that, yeah, like you said, Injun Orange from Bushmate, and then you got the
that's a snack only Archie Bunker could love. So, all right, maybe we should talk some football.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about it.
So, now, before we get to the game, I just want to throw two things out there that we talked about last week. First was the Jets. When we talked about Tebow, and I said how, you know, the players are backing Sanchez because they see Tebow in practice, and I don't think they believe in him. And then the very next day it comes out in the paper, you've got all these quote-unquote anonymous Jets saying Tebow stinks. We don't want him to play.
Terrible.
He's terrible.
Yeah. I go with along with some of the other – if you don't got the guts to say anything, I mean, to put your name to it, I think that's a lot of, I don't want to fall forward for something, but I think the only guy who really put his name to it was Matt Flossen, who said that we have two quarterbacks and an athlete on this team.
Right, right.
You know, which is basically a slam, I guess. But I think it also pays, you know, to what I said, is that they have no plans for him to be the quarterback. He's just a wildcat guy, and that's going to be it.
Right. Right.
But you were right, though, that you did say that maybe they've seen this guy, and he just can't do the job.
Yeah. And then the other thing I talked about last week on the show in the middle of my Giants rant was that thank you, which was that anytime people start telling the Giants how good they are, they completely lose focus. And Justin Tuck said in the paper just, I think, 2 days ago, we got too full of ourselves and we had completely lost focus. So this is the place to be if you want the insight.
You want to be ahead of the curve? You want to be ahead of the news?
This is it. This is it. Get in on the ground floor with this show.
But you know what, Jim? This just goes in fans in general. A lot of times fans see the things before the reporters see them, before the team sees them. A lot of times fans do get too emotional, maybe, you know. But if you've followed this team for, you know, a good amount of years, any team, you know the pulse of the team probably better than some reporter who's been on, like, their beat for, like, 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And so you're able to gauge that better than I think, you know. So I think fans really, although you'll meet your, you know, your segment of the fan population is completely stupid. Like, since I've been doing this show, you know, I started off kind of like a buddy from Holbrook. I was kind of like poking fun at the Giants. Now I kind of feel your pain, you know, when they lose and stuff. And, you know, I guess in some way I'm rooting for them, you know, like, you know, I have more vested interest in them. You know, I don't want to see one happy. I don't want to see. So I've kind of, I wouldn't say I've become a fan, but I'm more knowledgeable about the team. So when I'm around Giant fans and I hear stupid things, I want to attack them like if they were a Jet fan saying stupid things.
Right, right.
I was in 7-Eleven and these two dorks are talking about how it's Eli Manning's fault they're losing. I said, wait, I start doing all your talking points. Like, this defense stinks. Like, Princess Akamura, where's he? I'm going,
I love it. You're throwing out the names. You got,
down. I did a whole bit. I go, how come the Giants defense can never bail out Eli when he has a bad game? I said, how come they haven't stepped it up? Corey Webster's a disaster. I mean, all your talk. Where's the pass rush?
Yeah, but do you see that interception Eli threw?
He just won play. You know, it was horrible, but we can't blame everything on a quarterback. So I find myself defending the Giants. You know, it's stupid. I guess I'm, you know, it's my war against stupidity.
Right. Speaking of the Giants, Corey Webster still hasn't caught A.J. Green, by the way.
That guy is...
He's still chasing him.
That guy Green's phenomenal. I think he's caught touchdown passes in 7 straight games. 6 or 7 straight passes.
I think you're right.
Yeah, so he's... So, you have that. And boy.
Well, taking the Giants, you know, the knowledgeable Giant fan perspective to the streets, to the people of Long Island, it is much appreciated.
Well, like I said, I'm against stupidity in any form. The war on stupidity continues to be waged here in Lake Ronkonkoma.
And the war's going bad for us, son.
So that's that. Now, but that's it. The New York Football Jets. Now, is this a shocker? Should I be proud of this victory? Should I be proud?
Of course, you should always be. Should always be proud when they win. That's a, that was a. Hey, look, that's a Ram team that was coming. Granted, it was a tie, but they played. They were coming off a tough game against the Niners on the road. I mean, the Rams are no slouch. That's not the 1-15 Rams from 2 years ago or whatever it was. They're a decent team, and the much maligned. Now, let's face it. I don't know if there's a more maligned guy in football than Mark Sanchez. He had a hell of a game. It wasn't Brett Favre out there in his prime, but what was he, 15 to 20 for 200 yards?
That's about as good as he gets, that Jets.
I mean, look, with their weapons, you know, this guy's not going to, he's never going to light the world up. He's never going to play, he's never going to have a day like Matt Schaub had the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Never. Not with, Jesus, I can't even. Jonah Hill?
That guy. Don't even get me started on Stephen Hill. That guy's the worst. He dropped so many passes. You're a goddamn wide receiver. Catch the ball, you loser. I would cut him. He dropped a ball early in that game. I swear to God, I wanted to go in. I wanted to reach right to the TV and strangle him. CCCP is here. He doesn't know much about football. Well, join the club. For me, this is a filler until a hockey gets revved up, which I'm predicting December, January. But
you're optimistic.
I am, I guess. I really haven't given it much thought. I really just got on that at the beginning and just never thought they were going to end it earlier than that. So anyway, so I'm allowed to be proud of this victory.
Of course.
Now, the Rams had, like you said, they did tie, what was it? They tied San Francisco. But they were winless in five, I think, when they came into this game. Whatever. A win is a win is a win. Is that what we always say around here? Or Bill Parcells? Somebody said that?
Of course, that is what you say.
You know, and you're right. Mark Sanchez gets a lot of Jets in general. I said this last week. They get a lot of heat, and I said maybe it's because they play in New York. How bad they are! They're a far worse team in the NFL.
No, the Jets get a lot of heat. The Jets get a lot of heat because they draw it.
Right.
They ask for it.
They say stupid things during the week.
They are lightning rods. The coach on down.
I'm pretty convinced that Roddy White will wind up a Jet when he said that, I think we're going to go undefeated the Falcons, when he said it 2 weeks ago, and they haven't played good since. They lost one game. They barely escaped their lives.
How do you say when you're 7-0, I think we're going to go undefeated? How do you say that at 7-0?
Stupid. That's why.
Okay. Well, that it is.
So hard to go. How are you going to go? They're stupid. They belong in Lake Ronkonkoma. Roddy White will be moving to Lake Ronkonkoma. So getting back to the Jets, they got the job done. So far this week, I mean, to be honest, I didn't catch much of the game. Flipping around all the games, I kind of was just like, you know, Jets Rams, yeah, I'm real excited. You know, although they're my team, I kind of expected a loss. That's why I picked the Rams. And once again, went in the toilet with that pick. But going forward, which is the new segue term.
Yes.
The Jets are playing New England on Thursday night. So, now, a couple weeks ago, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, probably 3 weeks ago, you told me you think the shine, I think probably following the Jets losing to them, when the Jets, in which we said the Jets probably should have won that game, the shine is off New England. But what do you think about New England, you know, coming off a big victory Sunday? Are they back? They have no Gronkowski now, who's out.
No Gronkowski. You know, I don't know what to make of them. They're still a good team, but they're not. you know, I mean, yeah, they scored almost 60 points on Indianapolis on Sunday, but how many – didn't Luck throw – how many picks did he throw? Wasn't it quite a few? Wasn't there a couple of – did he throw three interceptions in the first quarter, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
So, you know, the Patriots got a lot of gifts as well. I thought the Jets, we said that on the show, they had plenty of opportunities to win that game in New England. So we'll see. But you know, it's funny how the fortunes of the Jet fan have completely turned around. I mean, last week I'm seeing, you know, fire Rex. This team is terrible. They won't win another game. When's Tannenbaum going to be fired? Now they beat the Rams and they're going to go to the playoffs. Easy schedule. Easy schedule. We're going to beat the Patriots. I mean, this is all one way. Somebody posted the Facebook group about the making the playoffs. I said 3 days ago, we're firing Rex Ryan. Now they're going to the playoffs.
Playoffs. I'm hoping to get out of this 8-8. I'll just say it's a wash. With some kind
they
of.
They might get them in the playoffs.
What?
8-8 might get them in the playoffs.
Maybe. But are they going to win a playoff game? Hey. I mean, that's the thing. I can't even imagine. Who knows?
9-7 did pretty well in the playoffs last year.
That's right. You got a Super Bowl champion. 9-7 Giants.
That's right.
So, yeah, but this is a whole different. Personnel-wise, the Jets have nothing. I really... Sean Green goes 2 yards in a cloud of dirt. That's it. I was watching this show. They were like, they made this blanket statement that every team has a guy who can run 50 yards, like a guy who can run, a running back. I said, Jets don't. Mr. Explosive. Get out of here. The Jets don't.
If you're an optimistic Jet fan, I could see how you look at the AFC because, I mean, the Jets are they're 4-6, okay? And they got two teams ahead of them for that last three teams ahead of them for that last wild card spot. You got Pittsburgh, who is now going to be down to Charlie Batch at quarterback.
Yahoo!
Cincinnati, and I don't care what Cincinnati did to the Giants, I will never, ever believe in a Cincinnati Bengals football team. Never. This is just a long history of I'd shoot myself if I was a Bengals fan. You got the Colts ahead of them. Does anybody really I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you got a rookie quarterback. They don't have much of a running game. It's just him and Reggie Wayne and that guy, Charlie's Tilton, whatever that guy is. You know, they don't have the Jets beat Indianapolis.
Yeah,
they are.
And then you got the Chargers at 4-6. They stink.
Philip Rivers.
You got the Titans at 4-6, and you got Buffalo and Miami at 4-6. Buffalo's up and down, and Miami's free falling.
Yeah, well, just
right after I talked about how good they were.
Well, a lot of people lauding their quarterback that this Tannehill was going to be the. Savior, and he's come back down to earth. I mean, yeah, you know, with that the whole offense arriving around Brent Hart line, whatever that guy's name is. And then and they've got problems too because now the coach benched Reggie Bush a little bit. There's a little. Man, see, now that you've said this, I'm starting to think, whoa, you've awoken the delusionment in me. This could be possible, but it's not. Because it's the Jets.
Well, I mean, there is that. They are fighting. They are up against 50 years of futility.
Right. But there are two teams. It's like your father said. That's why they're the Jets. But you got a couple teams in there, like you mentioned Cincinnati, who I remember, was it 2 years ago, I guess, when the Jets made the playoffs. They went up in Cincinnati, destroyed Cincinnati. Cincinnati had a good record that year. They were tied out. So I'm not worried about Cincinnati. The Bills, they'll find a way to lose worse than the Jets. They'll find a way. Who else? Miami? They're tall. They're worse than the Jets at finding a way to lose. So you got two teams there. Thing is, Brady's got such a good record against the Jets. I think he's career like something like 16-5 against the Jets. So if they can go up, and I mean, if they can beat New England, okay. I mean, the Jet players are treating this game like it is the most important game of the season. A lot of them said this is going to be the turning point. This is a must-win type of game, a lot of the players have said. But I've heard so much lip service from the Jets. I don't believe what they say, and I don't think they believe in what they say. It's what happens on the football. They are unable to translate what they say and how good they are or their feelings into a football game. You know, so I take it with a grain of salt, but I think really this is, you know, this is either, you know, you can make the season respectable or you can, you know, hope for a good draft pick.
Now, where it gets interesting for the Jets is that the last 3 weeks of the season, they're going to play three of the teams that we just mentioned at 4-6 that are all in this 4-6 club. They're going to play Tennessee, San Diego, and Buffalo. Those are their last three games of the season.
Right.
And then the next three, they got New England, and they're home for the Cardinals.
Hello?
Uh-oh. Hello? Lost Eddie. Can you guys hear me? Hello? Can you guys hear me out there? Hello? All right, Costa can hear me. So we lost Eddie. All right. So, well, just to run down that Jets schedule, and then when we get Eddie back, we'll go over it again. They've got New England this week, Arizona next week, then Jacksonville. There's Eddie.
Yeah, how are you?
All right. Arizona. Sorry about that. I don't know why we lost you, but we did.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was a possibility, I think a lot hinges on this New England game. If they can get it out of the way, they were, you know, San Diego, Arizona has not been winning. They seem to, and then they have quarterback problems at the wazoo.
They get 6 turnovers against Atlanta or 5 turnovers and still lose.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, that's virtually impossible in today's NFL. So you're finding ways to lose it. That's happening. And I thought the Jets did a good job against Steven Jackson. They were able to stop the run. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how they got. I really didn't expect them to beat the Rams, obviously. You know, it's going to be tough, though. Because, you know, it's just the Jets, they don't deserve to make the playoffs. I hate when people say that. But they are fighting. You know, the Jets defense, without Darrelle Revis and without Santonio Holmes, who, you know, I'm sure has been a great guy in the locker room. Goes up there with Brett Faberhagen and Vince Coleman. Good guys to have in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Speaking of good guys in the clubhouse, did you see Plaxico Burress found himself a job today?
No, I didn't.
Yes, sir.
In jail?
Back to Pittsburgh. Going back to Pittsburgh. Which I think is totally worth it just to see him possibly have to wear the ugliest uniforms in the history of uniforms.
I thought he was an inmate. All right. So he's back with Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Were they still hurting at wide receiver? I mean, don't they have Mike Wallace and
Morley Safer?
How can they decide they need him in week 11, week 12? We got to get Black in here.
You know, I don't know if they – I don't know what injuries they had at wide receiver. I just know the ones they had at quarterback. I mean, they're hurting a quarterback. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because now I heard today Leftwich is out for at least one game. Charlie Batch. How old is Charlie Batch?
Dude, that guy makes Mark Brunell look young. I mean, and you know Brunell's retired now, right? But Batch, I mean, he played with the Lions like, got to be like 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
Hold on, I'm looking at their, I'm looking at the areas. He is 38 in his 15th season. Charlie Batch.
Wow. Yeah, Charlie Batch. I remember he was, he could run the ball. That was like his big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. All these quarterback injuries, and you see Cutler goes down. Now Chicago's in a mess.
Oh, Jason Campbell took a Rodney King-like beating last night. I mean, he was just, you know, it's one thing if you've got a bad offensive line. By the end of the game last night, Bears' offensive line wasn't even trying. Yeah. They were just letting him get pummeled. Come on.
They got on Jay Cutler early in the season for yelling at his offensive linemen because they weren't pass protected. Well, guess what? He might have been right. They let this guy get fucking smashed up, obliterated. Then you got the Scarlet Pumpernickel over in San Francisco.
Copernicus
there, because the Scarlet Copernicus. And he goes out and he goes bananas. He goes berserker. What's on the Bears, has a good game. And then who was the other replacement guy this week? No, that's not it.
I'm getting word in from via text here. Antonio Brown was the other starting wide receiver that went down for Steelers. That's right, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown. Damn it, I can't think of who's the guy. Alex Smith, Cutler, Roethlisberger. Who was the other guy that went down? Anyway, it'll be interesting to see. And you're right, you did play that. That would give the Jet fan some, some hope, but usually when Jet fans are teased with a little hope, it finalizes a resounding and definite disappointment.
You know, it's like the hole in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah,
you can't have despair unless there's hope. You can't have hope without despair. You know, that's like, you know, the Jets, they keep climbing. They climb that rope, and they can't make the jump.
Nope. Exactly. Everybody, all the Jet fans are the guys cheering down at the bottom.
Yeah.
And they fall. Oh, and they just walk away. Nothing to see here. So now we spent a pretty goodly amount on the Jets, Jesse. So what's going on with these Giants? I'll tell you, the Cowgirls got away with one last. I watched a lot of that game.
Yeah.
I think they should have lost. But they're starting to pull the old smoke and mirrors out, and they're pesky, those Cowgirls.
Yeah, a little bit. And, of course, now, they win two games in a row, and everybody's back on their bandwagon. They're going to win the division. The Giants are going to be a wild card. Okay, whatever. Play the games. They're going to lose to Washington on Thanksgiving. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah,
they're going to lose to Washington.
Well, you know, RG3 is, listen, I'm not going to anoint him as the second coming. But, I mean, this guy... just a phenomenal. What he does is just so phenomenal. Even his arm. I still question durability, long term, but the guy can throw and run. shows me more talent than Vic did early in his career. But that could be a game where the Cowboys surely could lose. The Cowboys have not. I was talking this with a Cowboy fan during that game. I said, you know what? You must be scared as hell once the game gets into the third and fourth quarter with Romo as your quarterback. The first half, I think that guy's great. But when a clutch situation comes up, you know he's going to do something stupid. He's going to try to improvise or something, and he's going to throw it right into the other team's hands. But it was not to be. So what you're getting is a lot of the Cowboy fans are coming out of the woodwork now. The Giants.
Well, it's not even the Cowboy fans. The media, you know, all of a sudden, everybody loves to jump on, you know, Cowboys win two games in a row. They're the best team in football. They're this, they're that. Same thing with the Eagles. You know, if the Eagles win two in a row, although I don't think they might not win two in a row for the next 3 years, but who knows? That what a disaster in Philadelphia, and I couldn't be happier. It couldn't please me more.
I'm surprised to see
Rome burning.
Kind of feel. I mean, but they've lost six in a row. They were 3-1 at one point.
I think so. Yeah.
Couldn't
happen to a nicer team.
Oh, that was the other quarterback. Vic got hurt, and then they put in Ben Foles 5.
Tim Foley.
Tim Foley. Oh, he. The Eagles. Then McCoy gets a concussion. And so finito. It's unbelievable.
And Andy Reid, from what I understood, Reid put him back out there after he had the concussion.
Get out of here.
Apparently, I don't know. But, you know, Andy Reid's got a long history of mistreating injured players. Do you remember Donovan McNabb having to be carried downfield by his offensive line when he broke his leg or his ankle? You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, he's got a history of really mistreating his injured players. I mean, I could give two shits. It's the Eagles, but, you know, I don't know. Now, talking about him, you know, here's another thing. I was talking about this friend of mine yesterday. You know, the word Jim Fossil, when he was fired by the Giants, and he's never gotten another head coaching job, despite, you know, they won a couple of division championships. They made it to a Super Bowl with him. And I've read that the reason why Fossil might never have gotten another job in the NFL, a head coaching job, was that the Giants, a lot of people felt that the Giants kind of quit playing for Fossil in 2003. And they didn't like the perception was that, you know, he let his team quit on him. And I'm kind of wondering if the perception on Andy Reid's going to be the same, because this Eagle team has completely stopped playing for him.
I think it's a complete and utter breakdown. I just think with that whole defensive coordinator, they fire him after they tried to go with that defense he tried to implement, and they kind of blamed it all on him, and I don't like the way they run that offense. They should be running the ball now. He's all concussed up. McCoy, they should have ran him more often. How do you have a passing team? I mean, I understand you've got some threats. Jeremy Maclin, when he plays, is okay, and Deshaun Jackson, you know, his attitude's right. He's good. And, you know, that guy Celek ain't that bad, but can't be passing. When you got such a guy like LeSean McCoy, who really is a really good running back, I would maybe go as far to say that he probably is the best running back of that division. You know?
So, well, behind the Hall of Famer David Wilson. Future Hall of Famer David Wilson.
I almost drug up that clip for Godfather. You can be a man!
You're gonna act like a man. I think we have
like a man.
Why don't we have that?
What?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Don't despair. We might have that. I could have swore I have uploaded that at some point. Let me get through all the Family Feud sound clips and the Nick Fatio and Frankie scrolling. Frankie, Zsa Zsa Gaborik, get smart. Oh, no. All I have is
the theme.
I thought we had that. I thought I had that clip. Unless it's under A. Usually I put what it's from, though, so it makes it easier to find. But no, nope, don't have it. I got this.
Oh, that's great.
So, but yeah, anyway. But yeah, I would agree with you. He's probably the best.
That saga with David Wilson, anything continued or just stopped there?
No, it just stopped there.
Penalties to New York, number 22, Nick Fortieu, and to the Canadiens, number 24, Gilles Lupien. 2 minutes for delaying the game at 7 minutes, 21 seconds.
I missed those French Canadians. Never thought I'd say it. But
Jim.
So nothing.
Kevin.
So,
oh my goodness.
So now you got your Giants. You're playing the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. What are you thinking?
Sunday night, when they typically do not play well, at home, where they typically do not play well, with a porous defense, yes, Sunday night, live from the Yale Bowl on national TV, I don't know. I have no idea what to expect from this team. I really don't. I'm at a loss right now. I really am. I'm at a loss. I could just as easily see them losing 50-30, winning 21-20. I don't know. I have no. All I know is the defense stinks, and they're gonna have to. I mean, they're gonna have to play a hell of a lot better than they have played for 90% of this season. On Sunday night. Because, you know, I mean, the Packers, they got out of the gate struggling beginning of the season, and now all of a sudden they were a game ahead of the Giants.
That's true.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from them at this point. They're saying all the right things. We needed the week off. It was good to get away from football. We lost our focus. But, you know, again, they're sometimes they're better at saying all the right things than doing all the right things. You know, like I did my Popeye impersonation last week where they talked about how A.J. Green and found some holes in the defense. Not that that makes A.J. Green any type of Einstein. I could point out all the holes in that defense.
Yeah, like his strategy, like they somehow deduced strategically how to beat the Giants defense.
Right. You know, it wasn't exactly Bill Belichick devising a way to beat the 1990 Bills offense. You know,
exactly.
But anyway, I don't know what to expect. I really don't. I hope they win. I hope they're, you know, I hope they can fix what's wrong. I hope Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks can find ways to get open. I hope the offensive line can block for them a little bit. I hope Ahmad Bradshaw. Let me ask. That's another thing I want to ask, since Tom Coughlin's listening somewhere. How come David Wilson fumbles once in week one, and I haven't seen him since except for kickoff returns, whereas Ahmad Bradshaw is given multiple opportunities to fumble the ball? But then when Ahmad Bradshaw gets benched, it's Andre Brown who comes in, downtown Andre Brown.
Who's been all right.
Who? Yes. But why did you draft this guy in the first round, this electrifying speedster playmaker? We're going to give up on him after one fumble? Put him in there in a stagnant offense. What's the worst he could do?
Yeah, I guess it's maybe Coughlin's way of kind of like, you know, I don't want to equate him to Tortorella, but maybe in this way is that if you're a young guy, you've got to do the things right first before you're really going to get the opportunity to show your skill 10. So if you don't take care of the ball, and, you know, now Ahmad Bradshaw certainly is probably three times or so this season so far. He has, ball security has not been his forte, and or production, except for maybe one game. Maybe that's his thinking. They need to be able to run the ball too, because they need to keep the defense on the field. The defense is terrible. They've got to find that pass rush. I don't know what's going on with it. Unless you're, you know, the Giants are going to be needed if they can't find a pass rush. I look at it. You need that pass rush. That's the thing with the Jets too. You need a solid offensive line, and you need a pass rush in this league. You cannot do anything unless you have a pass rush. You need to come up with the big plays. And the Jets haven't had a pass rusher since Rex Ryan's been there. They haven't had a pass rusher since, what's his face, went to the Falcons.
Ellis or Abraham? Abraham.
Him.
Abraham. Really? F. Murray Abraham.
Murray Abraham. F. Murray Abraham. You see, all these teams with big-time defenses, they have pass rushes, and that's really what the key is, I think, the Giants' surge last year in their Super Bowl victory. That and Eli and Victor Cruz, you know, play.
Giants are going to need maximum effort from everybody on Sunday. You know, they're going to have to, whatever's been missing from their game the last 3 weeks, they better find it. And for the defense, they're going to have to find what's been missing for, again, 8 of the 10 weeks of this season. 646-478-4692 is the number. We'll get to the phones, or should I just say, we'll get to Costa in just a minute. And we'll get to the picks. I have Murph's pick. He actually got one right last week.
Yes.
He had Buffalo over Miami. And his pick this week, I'll give you his now. Who's he got this week? His lock of the week is Atlanta over Tampa. Wow.
I don't know. That game to me is kind of a... I don't know if Atlanta has hit the wall. And Tampa seems to be surging a little bit.
But anyway, he's got Atlanta over Tampa. Let's get Costa on the phone. Costa, good evening. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Glad to hear it.
I wanted to ask you.
Live from the Holland Tunnel.
So,
did you just snort?
Yeah, he snorted. He slept.
Was that the Costanza snort?
Now, oh, Costa, are you joining us in the delusionment that the Jets can make the playoffs?
They have to run the table. There it is. There it is.
I don't think the Jets are... They may run the table in losses.
I think with the exception of the Pats game, all those games are winnable, to be honest. They are winnable.
They are winnable. You're right there.
They're all losable.
They're all losable, too. It's tough to gauge the Jets. The Jets, to me, would be easier to gauge had they not gotten blown out by San Francisco, which seemed to be they beat Indianapolis, who seems to be an okay team. The Rams, they're like, they beat, who else? They beat Miami the first time. Was it Buffalo? Anyway, their four wins are less than, stellar opponents, but you're right. If they can put something together, if somebody can step up, I really think it's all about the defense with the Jets, because obviously Mark Sanchez, the same line score every year, every game, about 200 yards. You know, I don't. I it's going to be tough, but they seem they haven't given up.
No.
They easily could have laid down against the Rams and said, "Listen, you know,
we're going to tank the season."
Yeah. If they win, you know, if they beat the Patriots, Jets Nation is going to be going. They're going to be expecting
plays. They're going to go. Oh, yeah, we beat the Pats. We're going to the playoffs.
It'll be, you know, they'll be parading in the streets and taking first to Terra City Patriots.
I mean, the Jets, that's the thing about the Jets. They're 4-6, six games to go. Would anybody be surprised, honestly? Would you be surprised if they finished 4-12?
No.
Would you be surprised if they finished 10-6?
Yes.
Yes.
See, with their schedule, I wouldn't.
I think that's just it.
It would be just like the Jets to go to roll and go 10-6. And what would everybody? They're on a roll. They're like the Giants. We're getting it, and the fans would be going crazy, and they'd all be out in the streets, and it would be, you know, we're gonna do just like the Giants did. We're red hot. The songs would be playing, and then they get in the first round against San Diego at home at Jet Life Stadium. Painted green, and the firemen dancing, get everybody going, and they'd lose 47-3.
Not a chance. You heard it on this program. I did. Not a chance.
I see best case 9-7, best case scenario.
9-7 to the Super Bowl.
On that, that's best. I feel it's going to be 8-8. But 9-7 is possible with that. I can see this. I don't know. Jets find ways to lose, so it's so hard to get behind. And plus, the personnel stinks. They got to go with Jeremy Curley and Steve Hill. Come on.
Hey, Eddie.
Yeah.
You've seen how Harbaugh has done well with Alex Smith. Do you think he would have had as much success with Sanchez, like as with Alex Smith?
I don't know. I don't know how much success Alex Smith has had. Already there's a quarterback controversy. Exactly.
Yeah, because of the way Copernicus played last night.
Yeah. But who knows? Sanchez is a gamer, but I did notice in that Jet game. Remember how when he first started with the Jets, he was always going head first when he ran the ball? Now I notice he's taking the slide and going out of bounds. Now, I don't know if that's just because he's getting smarter or he's just like, listen, I'm not taking one for the team on this one anymore. I know what I'm getting into here. I don't know. I don't think Mark Sanchez is the Jets' answer long-term. Not the one I'm doing. So,
Sam Rosen agrees.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
So, I don't know what he could have done. Oh, yeah, Harbaugh's got to watch out, man. Didn't he have some kind of pop the blood vessel or some shit? That guy's got to get in control of his anger.
I think he got treated for an irregular heartbeat or something.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. He's got to calm it down. He's going to stroke out right on the field. So, is it possible? Yes, anything is possible, but is it likely? But you got, listen, you think 9-7 is best case?
Yeah.
And if it's a schedule, what? I got to be afraid of Miami. I got to be afraid of Buffalo. Arizona. They worry me a little bit. But New England, if they get over the New England hump, there's certainly a chance. They could ride that. As long as they don't say anything stupid, which is going to be.
Forget it. now you're adding too much difficulty.
I know. I was like, wow, they're saying the right thing this week. And I was like, yeah, but it's only Tuesday. Thank God they have very short weeks with the Ants. They,
they
have
less time to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Costa, we're going to let you run.
Right.
Eddie and I are going to do our picks.
All right.
And we're going to get the hell out of here.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Toodles.
Toodles.
I'm punching out.
Punching out, fellas.
Punching out. All right. Mr.
Ready?
Producer, if you would, cue the music. And we'll get to the picks.
You go first.
I do believe I go first this week. After Eddie's 1-2 last week, and I was 2-1, the current standings, we have Jim is 14-7-3. Eddie is 10-12-2.
Nah.
So here we go. Courtesy of the Blue Mountain Casino in Lake Havasu, Arizona. I don't know why I said that, but I was just up there this weekend. Had a great time.
Yeah.
Not at the actual casino, but I was in Lake Havasu and had a great time.
Good.
Anyway, all right. I am going to take, as as I guaranteed here just a few minutes ago, I'm going to take the Washington Redskins on Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm going to take the Washington Redskins +3 in the house that Eagle built in Dallas.
Nah.
And then I'm going to take the Denver Broncos, who are going to march into Kansas City, which has become an absolute hellhole. The fans are revolting. They are wearing black to the games to represent a funeral atmosphere. They are hiring banners to fly over Arrowhead. So I'm going to take the Broncos, giving 10.5. And finally, I will take, also on Thanksgiving, the Houston Texans, giving 3 to the Detroit Lions.
Wow.
So both Thanksgiving hosts, or 2 of the 3, your traditional Thanksgiving hosts, will lose on Thanksgiving.
Took my Washington Redskins. I like that a lot.
Sorry, I like that pick.
All right, I'm going to go with my replacement pick. I don't have that. I will take the Cleveland Browns, getting 1.5. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Cleve +1.
The Charlie Batch offense will not.
Charlie
Batch.
Rachel Dratch. Do a better job.
Really? You're not going to like this one, big boy.
Here he comes. Taking Green Bay?
Green Bay.
I love it. With your record, I love it.
Getting 2.5 from the Gents.
It's in the bag.
In the bag, out the door. And Tennessee giving 3 to Jacksonville.
Right.
To that big overtime loss that they had, to be coming down to earth. And be out.
All right, so Cleveland +1, Green Bay +2.5 over Dos Gigantes, and the Titans giving 3 to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Cleveland getting 1.5.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1.5. Could be a very important half point.
Yes, you never know. I need all the help I can get.
How dare I?
How
dare I?
Well,
I'm just going to wrap it up.
Wow. I can't believe it's week 11 already.
I know. And we still don't have hockey.
Fucking nuts. What are we going to do when football's over?
I don't know. What are we going to do?
Stuff still in the works.
We have to switch to, well, to baseball, I guess.
Get the fuck out of here. Out of camp.
<camp. laughs> The Shea Stadium shit show.
All right, if you name it that, I'll be on that show.
Now we got to do a Mets show just so we can use that name. The Shea Stadium shit show.
Even though they're playing at City Field, it's the shitty field.
The shitty field shit show. But I like Shea Stadium better.
I like it too. All right, everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Happy holiday, Jim. And
same to you.
there listening, and guys at Tracy and Costa, all you guys, have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.